The architecture site Arkonect recently announced the winners of its Dry Futures competition. It asked architects to submit ideas for dealing with California's drought and divided the responses into two categories, pragmatic and speculative. The winning pragmatic entry called for placing drains around the San Fernando Valley to replenish the underground aquifer. The winner of the speculative category imagines massive farms of Nopalis cacti as a source of food and water treatment. Amelia Taylor-Hochberg is the editorial manager for Arkonect.com.
For our perspective and working with architects, we wanted to try to leverage the specific perspectives and intelligences that the architecture community has to put together a series of ideas that could help not necessarily solve the drought as it is, because we're not even sure whether the drought can be solved, but that we wanted to kind of leverage the architecture community's intelligences to understand creative ideas for how to live with this drought and how to mitigate its negative effects.
What were you looking for as far as judging who would be the winners in each category?
So myself, I was not a judge. We had a fantastic jury of a variety of professionals, some explicitly architects, but many not. And so I can't speak directly to their ideas and how they evaluated the submission. However, I do know that when we spoke to them and when we talked about what we would like to kind of see in these submissions, we did push on the idea of having that line straddled between speculative and pragmatic, because we knew that we really wanted us to stay in the ideas competition. We didn't imagine that people would only be submitting truly pragmatic, currently possible ideas or proposals. We really wanted to kind of straddle that line.
Well, given that, I mean, how realistic do you think that some of the winning ideas are? I mean, do you expect at some point in the future that we'll have prickly pear cactus farms to try to alleviate the drought somewhat?
I think many of the submissions, both winning and not, contain kernels of highly possible, if not eminently possible, and doable, feasible ideas. Such as the research behind the cactivism proposal, there is ongoing research to that end that is quite promising. We can totally see that if things continue positively, that could very well become a kernel of an idea in another entirely real proposal. One of the winning proposals included the creation of a digital currency for water. So those kinds of ideas are also entirely possible. They're just, in some ways, much more radical because they require not just the political weight behind them to actually have them happen and be implemented, but also a huge cultural and social shift in the population to accept those ideas.
It also seemed that while some of the ideas were specific to particular parts of California, there are others that were among the winners that could be exported elsewhere, that could be used in places like Arizona, for example.
Oh, absolutely. And I think we were very aware that for the sake of our competition, we wanted to make it specific and wanted to focus on California because that's what we were most familiar with. However, you know, California's biome is unique, but it's not so unique that same ideas can't be applied to other drought-stricken and otherwise just dry areas.
Amelia Taylor-Hochberg is the editorial manager for Arkonect.com, which ran the Dry Futures competition. So can prickly pears help deal with the drought? Lucas Majeure, who works on the plant at Desert Botanical Garden, says, yeah, maybe.
So that's, yeah, a very interesting question. And, you know, I think in terms of areas that previously might have been heavily irrigated using things like alfalfa and other sort of high water use species, prickly pears could certainly be much more efficient at water usage and incorporating the water being used into biomass. So I think certainly it's a very interesting and plausible idea.
Do you envision that at some point we might see cactus farms, Nopalis prickly pear farms, where they're produced as food for both humans and animals and also used as basically a water treatment system?
I certainly hope so. The U.S. is somewhat behind the times in those terms because, for instance, people in Mexico have been using prickly pears for, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of years in plantation types of systems for the production of fodder for animals and the production of vegetable sources, nopales, for consumption, as well as the tunas, the fruits that are eaten from those that are produced. In terms of actually using the biomass produced from prickly pears to clean up water sources, that's a very interesting topic. And it's one that has received a certain amount of research. There are a number of papers published, one specifically noting the usage of prickly pear biomass to reduce the amount of heavy metals in contaminated water.
Would the water be clean enough to make it drinkable, or are we just talking about making it clean enough to use in irrigation or some other type of use?
Yeah, that's in my mind, that's not totally clear. Would it actually be potable after treating it with the proteins and fibers from Opuntia's prickly pear cacti? I'm not totally sure. Certainly, it would be clean enough, I would presume, to be used in other forms such as irrigation.
How many prickly pears would you need? How big would these farms have to be, do you think, assuming that the water treatment system would actually work, to make much of a difference?
Yeah, I think they would have to be relatively massive just to produce enough biomass to have this sort of three-tier system where you take a portion and you use that for human consumption, another portion use that for animal consumption, and then a third portion of the biomass produced to use for water cleaning.
I have to say that when I first read about this, my first reaction was, this seems like such a simple solution. I mean, prickly pears have been here forever. Why have we not been doing this already?
You know, I think that's an incredibly good and interesting comment because, in other parts of the world, they have been doing this for hundreds, if not thousands of years. So why have we been slower to get on the bandwagon and actually incorporate more eco-friendly, desert-friendly species into our agricultural production? I think part of that might be slightly cultural because we're just not used to planting things like cacti for, agricultural products. We think of those as, they're really beautiful to have in our lawns and to use as ornamentals, but we don't really think of those as consumables when in reality, not just prickly pears, but a number of species of the family Cactaceae have been used for thousands of years for this type of purpose, at least in terms of human consumption and animal consumption.
The contest for which this idea was submitted was based in California, but is it safe to say that if it would work theoretically in California, there's no reason to think it wouldn't work here as well?
I think certainly in specific parts of Arizona, especially in areas that are now fallow, that haven't been used for agriculture for a number of years due to, problems with water resources, it could certainly be experimented with here in Arizona, and it would be interesting to try that out.
Lucas Majeure studies prickly pear cacti at Desert Botanical Garden. If you want to read more about what the author called grassroots cactivism or see the other winning entries in the Dry Futures contest, we'll have a link at theshow.kjzz.org.